Good morning. What a wonderful worship we've had already. So much appreciate the thought and the dignity and the reverence and the honor we've given to our God. We love our Lord, and we're so thankful for that. If you've got your Bible, turn with us to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. John, chapter 17. We've been looking the last four Sundays that I've preached as we kind of gone through this unit of John 13 through 15. Jesus was getting ready to leave, and he had some things to tell his disciples. And we're going to wrap this up today by focusing on a prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. So good to have each of you with us. Lots of visitors. We're thankful for you being with us. And as Zach said, it's foggy out there, but by the time we get done, the sun will have burned off the fog. And as we open our Bibles, we realize another sun. Not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. The Son of God burns off the fog in our hearts. Sometimes we gather with fear. Sometimes there's doubt. Sometimes there's just confusion. But we go to God's Word, and there we see the truth as God has displayed upon us. And we're so thankful for that. You know, whenever you think about taking a journey, there's always a process of preparation. And especially if you're going to be gone for a period of time, you've got to take care of the mail, take care of the pets, you've got to pack, you've got to think about this detail, and that detail, and that detail. There's just lots of things that go through your mind. And it doesn't take being married very long to realize that husbands and wives, men and women, view this a lot differently. And I'll just show you a couple examples of this. That's how typical it is, isn't it? The woman has nothing to wear, and her closet's full, but the man, well, that's just the way it is. And then when it comes to packing, and how the man just maybe 30 minutes before he's supposed to catch that flight, he throws a few things in his suitcase, and off he's ready to go. I've got to admit to the story. I hate to tell you the story, but it's so true. Debbie and I, several years ago, we were going to St. Louis for 2 days. She took one little bag. I think I took four. I took five pairs of shoes with me. So I think I belong on the wrong side of this picture here just a little bit. So Jesus was leaving. He's leaving. Now, for 30-some years, he's been on earth. He stayed here the whole time. He didn't come and go and come and go. He stayed. Now, he's leaving. And he's not coming back for a long, long time. He's cast out demons. He's calmed storms. He's taught the disciples. And now, he's leaving. And what we find in John 13, 14, and 15 is not so much Jesus preparing himself to leave, but he's preparing the disciples. I'm leaving, and there's some things you need to know. There's some things you need to realize because I won't be here. And so in our very first lesson, we talked about how Jesus tells them, do not be troubled. That dealt with them emotionally. Emotionally, do not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me, he said, John 14. And this is what our title slide of that sermon looked like. Jesus was leaving. In our second lesson, we talked about spiritually. Stay with me. Abide with me as we just sang that song. Lots of things are going on, but you need to be staying close. And how that presents to us an interesting contrast. How can we stay with Jesus when we're here and he's there? We kind of went through and talked about that. Last time we were together, we talked about the relationship. How Jesus told the disciples to get along, to love one another. And how interesting as we see these three powerful principles in our Bibles, to believe, to abide, and to love one another, simply to get along. Now, as we go through our Bibles, we notice that there'll be other things Jesus would tell his disciples in these three chapters. He would tell them to be obedient to him. John chapter 14, verse 21, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I will know him and disclose him to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Or in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. One of the things Jesus was saying is, I'm not just telling you stuff that really doesn't matter. You know, I love it when a teacher has just poured her heart out and just went through a whole bunch of stuff. A student raises his hand, and the teacher says, yes, do you have a question? And the student says, do we really need to know this stuff? Well, Jesus was telling them, yes, you really need to know this stuff. He also tells the apostles that help is on the way. Chapter 14, he said, I would not leave them as orphans, but the Holy Spirit would come upon them. He would come upon the apostles, not upon all of us, but upon the apostles. And through the apostles, he would lead them and teach them and remind them what things are to do. They were to be spread out, as we just see in just a moment. The accuracy of their preaching, the accuracy of their word was so important. Can you imagine us getting together and say, okay, this evening we're going to give all of us a blank piece of paper, and we have to remember one of Roger's sermons from 3 years ago. Mr. Roger himself could not remember the sermon from 3 years ago. So these people were to go into all the world and preach. Can you imagine Matthew saying, well, I think he said this, and John said, no, I heard it was this way. And how confusing that would be. But God would give the Holy Spirit to his apostles, so they would know. And he also told them that he was coming back. I promise you, I'm coming back. Verse 18 of chapter 14, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Verse 28, you heard I said, I said to you, I go away. I will come to you. And again, in verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So John 13, 14, and 15, Jesus is laying out these instructions. He's letting them know, I'm leaving. But here's some things you need to know. Now, when you flip the page from chapter 17 to chapter 18, we find Judas coming with the soldiers, and the beginning of his death takes place. They'll arrest him, there'll be trials, he'll go to the cross, he'll be resurrected, he'll ascend to heaven. But one final thing he does is in chapter 17, and that is he says a prayer. I'm going to say a prayer on behalf of my disciples. And the instructions have ended. Now it's just a moment before I'm going to be arrested. And his last thing he does is he says a prayer. And so that's what we want to look at today in John chapter 17. And really what Jesus is wanting them to do is understand that as I leave, you're not going to go hide in a cave. You're not going to go underground. You're not going below the radar here. As I leave, I've got a mission for you. Just as the Father put me into the world, I'm putting you into the world. You are to go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every person you meet. And this is going to be intense. And I won't be there to tell you what to do. I won't walk beside you. I will not be here. So what I want you to do is I'm going to say a prayer for you. As we look at this, what it reminds us is, first of all, this is the longest recorded prayer of Jesus in the Bible, John 17. We're going to read a big part of it here in just a moment. This is indeed what we call the Lord's Prayer. How many times when somebody says, let me read to you the Lord's Prayer, and they go to Matthew chapter 6, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Jesus never actually prayed that. He was teaching his disciples to pray that. There are elements in that prayer he would have not have prayed. He would not have prayed about the forgiveness of sins because he had no sins. But this is a prayer he really prayed. And when we want to talk about the Lord's Prayer, here it is. And I believe in a lot of ways this is a prayer he could have prayed for you and he could have prayed for me. As Jeremy led that song, I'm the one. How easy it is for us to hide behind humanity. All have sinned, Romans 3 says, and fallen short of the glory of God. All people need Jesus. All. And we make that kind of big. But when we sing that hymn, I'm the one. I would love for us to sing that hymn one time, and every time we sing that song, that phrase, I'm the one, we'd say our name. Just say it. Doesn't matter what you did, this is what I did. Doesn't matter what I did, this is what you did. And all of us need Jesus. And so John 17, let's turn our Bibles there. And the prayer begins with Jesus praying about himself, praying about the cross, praying about being glorified with the Father. Let's read down the first five verses here as Jesus prays this prayer. These things Jesus spoke, lifting up his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour has come. Stop there for a moment. Turn your page, look at chapter 18. When he had spoken these words, He went forth with his disciples over the ravine of the Kidron, where there was a garden, into which he himself entered and his disciples. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with his disciples. Judas then, receiving the Roman cohort and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came with lanterns and torches and weapons. Father, the hour has come. This is it. And so he prays, he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, even that the Son may glorify thee. Even as thou hast given him authority over all mankind, that to all whom he has given him, he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I glorify thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory with which I have had with thee before the world was. He's talking about his death. I'm going to die. I'm going to die with dignity. I'm going to die glorifying you. I'm going to die in such a way that people, even soldiers who had no faith, will say, surely this was the Son of God. I'm going to come out of that tomb, and I'm going to show them that I am God on earth. For 3 days, I'll be in that tomb, but I myself will come out. No one is going to kill me. I'm going to lay down my life. And then when I'm ready, I'm going to come out. And then I'll go to heaven, where I came from. Then after this, starting in verse 6, he prays for the disciples. Let's read this. And as I read this, I want you to notice how many times, how many references he makes to the disciples. How many times he talks about them. Starting in verse 6 now of John 17, I manifested thy name to the men, that's the apostles, whom thou hast given me out of this world. Thine they were, and thou givest them to me, and they have kept my word. Now they, notice again the emphasis upon the disciples, now they have come to know everything that thou hast given me is from thee. For the words which thou gavest me, I have given to them, and they received them, and truly understand that I came forth from thee, and they beheld that thou didst send me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on the behalf of the world, but of those whom thou hast sent me and given me, for they are thine. And all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I have been glorified in them. Verse 11, I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, which thou hast given me. I guarded them, that not one of them perish, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 13, but now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy be made full in themselves. I've given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am myself am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth, thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves might be sanctified in truth. Now starting in verse 20, and we're not going to read the end of this, but from verse 20 on down to verse 26, he prays for those who follow the apostles. Those who would hear that word. Those who would be where we are today. But I want you to notice how Jesus is emphasizing in this prayer that, first of all, he has prepared the apostles. He says they have kept his word. They've come to know everything. They have received the word. They understand the word. They have believed. So what Jesus is, he's praying this, I'm leaving, but I have prepared them. I've prepared them as a farmer prepares the soil. I prepared them to know this is what you're going to be doing. You're going out into the world, and it's going to be difficult. I will not be with you. Here's some things you need to know. And in this prayer, there are two things I want to point out to you this morning. First of all, he prays that God keeps them in his name. John 17, verse 11, I'm no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name. Keep them. The idea was of protecting them. Verse 12, Jesus would say that he had guarded them, that none of them had perished. Now, this may carry a sense of physical caringness about this, but I believe there's some more things involved in this. I think there's a spiritual side to this, and I think even a doctrinal side to this, to be faithful to God. I'm not going to be here to answer all their questions. I'm not going to be here to tell them everything. And you need to see how important it is that they are kept in your name. And to see that value of that. And one of the reasons is because the world is dangerous. He says in verse 15, keep them from the evil one. How this ought to be our prayer every day before we leave the house. How this ought to be a prayer of every mom and dad as they think about their children. Keep them from the evil one. In the chapters before, he said it this way. If the world hates you, you know it's hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. If they persecuted you, they will also persecute you. And so what Jesus is saying to the Father is, keep them. It's dangerous out there, and they need to see how important this is. Because the world did not understand Jesus, and the world did not like Jesus. And Jesus wanted them to respond in a different way. Don't act like the world, because you're not of the world. And so in verse 14, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Peter would remind us, what's involved with this? Peter says, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. That includes text. That includes social media. That includes whispers under our breath. That include things we say to others. When Jesus was reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And again, if you notice at the beginning of this passage here, you've been called for this purpose, and this is the example God wants us to follow. What Jesus is praying is, I've already told them I'm leaving. I've given them all the instructions I can give them. Now, Father, keep them. Keep them, because it's dangerous out there. And I think the greatest threat was not physical. Because throughout our New Testament, we read about them dying. In Acts 12, we read about James the Apostle being put to death. We read about others being executed, such as Stephen and Antipas in the book of Revelation. We read about them dying. He's not talking about perpetual life on earth. He's talking about the message. Don't change the message. That's our faithfulness to God. Just as he had told them, keep my word, keep the commandments. Holy Father, keep them that they be faithful. How out of fear sometimes we remain quiet. How sometimes to be accepted we keep silent. How sometimes to avoid conflict we simply look the other way. And we need to see the importance of this. We read in our passages in our Bible, such a passage like Galatians chapter 1, where later on the apostle would say, I'm amazed at you quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what you have been preached to you, he is to be accursed. The idea of contrary is twisted. A twisted gospel. Why would somebody twist the message? Because if I teach it the way God gave it to me, somebody's not going to like me. If I teach it the way God gave it to me, somebody's going to say, you're narrow. If I teach it the way God says to me, people will walk away. But if I give it a little twist, I sprinkle a little bit of culture in this, I change it just a little bit, maybe we can kind of build a bridge and we can like each other. And that is always the call there, to be faithful to God. Compromise, selling out, diluting things only weakens the message. And so we see passages like Acts 5, verse 20, where it says, go, stand, speak to the people in the temple, the whole message of this life. Or as Paul would say in Acts 20, I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole purpose or the whole counsel of God. You know, when we mix paint, we get different colors. I had tragedy the other day in my office. I've got a room of archives. I've got a whole bunch of framed pictures and sermons. And I went in there the other day and one of them fell off the wall. And part of the frame was cracked. And so I went over here into our resource room and I needed bronze. We had no bronze paint. We had gold and we had brown. So Mr. Roger did some mixing here and there and mixing here and there. And it doesn't look real good, but it's the best I could do. You know, when we mix paint, we get new colors. When we mix the message, we get a different message. And so when I mix the message just to make somebody like me or to be accepted or to be happy, it doesn't work. And so the prayer of Jesus to his disciples was, keep them. Keep them faithful, I think is what he's driving at. Keep them true to the message. They're going into all the world, and they've got to be faithful. And as you and I go out into the world today, we have to be faithful to the world. Not to the message out there, but to the message of God. We have to be faithful in teaching our friends the message of God and to see that. Now, the second thing he says is to make them holy. And John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify, set apart, consecrate, make special. That's that concept. A lot of you in your homes have special dishes, and you get them out at Thanksgiving. That's about the only time of the year you use them. Or if you have a whole bunch of company over, you get them out. Every day, you use the paper plates. But the special stuff, that's for special occasions. That's what sanctify means. It means to set apart. And so as Jesus was praying this, it's the idea, for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they may also be sanctified in the truth. Be holy. Don't blend in. You're separate. You're distinct. I walked in B2 the other day and saw this all over the wall. Mr. Jason had drawn this. This is his class. It's about holiness. And I looked at that and said, well, I can't beat that. I'm just going to take a picture of that. Here it is. Let him come up here and preach this for you. But it means to be dedicated. And there's that concept. There were holy days. There were holy ground. There was holy places. If you were unclean, you couldn't come into the temple. The priests had to consecrate themselves, put on special garments, bathe themselves. They didn't just grab any animal out in the streets. The animal had to be pure, undefiled. It had to be firstborn, as we think about that. And so there's that concept of dedication, separate, distinct, holy. As Peter would say it, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So as Jesus was leaving, I want you to remember who you are. You're going to go out there and there's going to be people that don't like you. Now, he doesn't say this, but we know this from scriptures. There's going to be people who pick up a rock and throw it at you because of what you said. There'll be people who will chase you. If they catch you, they're going to put you in jail because of what you said. There are going to be people, because you carry the name Jesus, are going to be against you. Now remember, don't change that message. And number two, remember who you are. You belong to Jesus. The apostle would say it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What harmony has Christ with Belial? What has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we're all the temple of the living God, just as God said, I'll dwell in them and walk among them. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among their midst and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Almighty. Now, he's not advocating we need to build a monastery way up on the hill and only us can be there. No, because you're going to all the world and you're going to preach to everybody. But don't mingle the paint. Remember the message. Remember who you are. You belong to Jesus. And so with this regard, This is accomplished by transformed lives. Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to the world. What is conformed? It's mixing paint. What is conformed is doing what everyone else says. What is conformed is just seeing, well, you know, this is what most people say, and everybody cannot be wrong. Well, yeah, they can be. It's doing what God says. And this is being accomplished by living new lives. I'm a different person now. Ephesians chapter 4 plans it this way. He says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside your old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with lust and deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of mind and put on the new self. You are different in Jesus. And so he was praying. I've done all the teaching I can teach. Now it's time to take it to the Father. Father, keep them. And Father, in the same way, help them be sanctified. Help them be set apart. And this brings it down to us with two final thoughts. Number one, there is an attraction to the message. The message offered hope and was filled with grace. That's the gospel of Jesus. The word gospel means good news. Good news, I can be saved. Good news, even though I made a wreck of my life, God will forgive me. Good news, I can change my life. Good news. And so this is the message. The message is good news. But then the other attraction was their lives, because it showed peace and freedom. You see, you're living differently than the world. Why? Because you're sanctified, you're holy, you're set apart, and people recognize that. There's a peace around you when all we see is chaos. Everyone seems to be in the fog, but you're not in the fog. Everyone seems to be arguing and bickering and fighting, and you're different. What's in that? It's Jesus Christ. Peace and freedom in Jesus. It's a story of a man one day. He was a businessman, and he come up to an intersection, and there was a car in front of him. He had his briefcase open. There's all kinds of papers. He had his cell phone there. He was doing work while he was in his car. And the light changed, and the car in front of him didn't go. Tapped his horn, still didn't go. Tapped it a little harder, still didn't go. Blew the horn real loud, and the person in front of him finally looked up just as it's turning from yellow to red and made it through. And that guy couldn't make it. Oh, he was mad. He was hitting the steering wheel, just fuming mad. About that time, there's a peck on his window, and it was a policeman. He rolled down the window, and the police officer said, please turn off the car, step out. Put him in handcuffs. Called in the station. And after a while, they checked out everything, and the police officer says, we made a mistake. When I saw you behaving as you were behaving in your car, and I read your bumper stickers, follow me to Sunday school, and I saw a little face on the back of your car, which is a sign of Jesus, I obviously thought you had stolen this car. You see, the world watches us. The world listens to us. The world knows us. Our attitude, our choices, our behavior. So as Jesus was leaving, I think one of the last things he was praying and trying to impress upon his apostles was this idea that there's a message that cannot be touched. And you live a separate life. Live that way. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't make apologies for that. Don't when somebody say, you know, here's some wine. Would you like to drink some wine? Oh, I wish I could, but I can't because I'm a Christian. Wrong answer. I don't. I could, but I won't. Why? Because I follow a higher way. I follow Jesus. I don't need that stuff. I don't need that stuff to calm me down. I don't need that stuff to pick me up. I follow Jesus. He calms me down. He picks me up. I don't need anything else. And so what we end, as we end our series, is simply a prayer. A prayer for his apostles. And I think as we think about our role here and what we try to do, it's the same thing. The idea that we living sanctified lives. We are to be holy people. We're to be a people that make a difference wherever we are. Where you work, they all see a difference. Where it's in your family, they ought to see a difference. You're not acting like everyone else. You're not talking like everyone else. Why? Because I follow Jesus. And when everyone wants to just kind of change the message, just a little bit. Let's just add a little bit. Let's just back off on the doctrine a little bit. Let's just take out some of this stuff. I cannot, because it's given to me by Jesus, and I cannot change it. What a profound thing when you put these three or four chapters together. Cannot imagine what was racing through their minds as they heard over and over again, "I'm leaving." And you can imagine thinking, well, who's going to take care of us now? Next time we go into a storm, who's going to stop this storm? Who's going to walk on the water? Who's going to heal the sick? Who's going to take care of the demons? Who's going to do all this stuff, Jesus? You're leaving us. And what he does is just lays down some principles. And here you and I are, and so same things apply to us. What a powerful, powerful Lord's Prayer, simply to keep them and to sanctify them. This morning, that's our call to you. If you've never been baptized in Jesus Christ, you need to, because that's the call of God. That's how you find salvation. It's not just a one-time thing. I get baptized and I get to do whatever I want the rest of my life. No, I'm changing. It's like a wedding ceremony. Man doesn't stand up and says to this beautiful woman beside you, "I do," and before the wedding's over, "Honey, I got a fishing trip, I'm going with the boys to the game, and I got an apartment over here because I like to be single." No. You crossed the line when you said, "I do." You crossed the line when you say, "Jesus, save me. I belong to you now. What you say is my words. Where you want me to go is where I will go. I will be different because you are different. Jesus is not like everyone else." That's what appeals to us about him. And so this morning, if you need Jesus, if you need prayers, we'll be here to help you pray. There is never, never, never a problem about coming forward. And if you're a little bit ashamed about that, just raise your hand and I'll be where you are in 5 steps. Never ashamed about that. Why? Because we're the family of God. We want to go to heaven. We're in this together. And what a joyous day will be when we're all up there and we don't have to worry about fog ever again. Won't you come? Let's stand as we sing.